And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey. Yo. Hey. Hey. Oh.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Fan of No Dunks, and Dunks, obviously. This one's for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, a top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And last but not least, making the magic happen for the final time this week, it's our guy, Eshua Kidd.
How y'all doing?
What's up?
Ash, you're having a day, eh?
Yeah, man. What a day so far. What a day. But it's all good. It's all good. We're going to
see. It's all right. Yeah. The people are here. They're pumped. Excited to talk about the dunks on No Dunks. Shout out to the stream team. Slight delay getting started here, but hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating and review if you are a podcast listener. And hey, check out Tass on the latest Is This Good episode with Matty O and JD. Some larfs were had.
Mm-hmm.
I fired that one up yesterday. That link is in the show notes. But before we get into the dunks, we had another wedgie, which is great. Wedgie number 47 on the season. Credit to Thomas Bryant with the big block wedgie there on Kelly Oubre Jr., who was trying to dunk it home. That one really lodged in there. Nice. So 47 on pace for 59. WedgieTracker.com breaks it all down as we try and set the all-time record for most wedgies in a season.
Thomas Bryant loved it so much he clapped.
Yeah, three hard
for himself.
Yeah, it's good stuff there, Thomas Bryant. Okay, let's get into what you got.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
What you got? Everybody knows where we're starting today, because we had two Dunk of the Year contenders submitted within minutes of each other last night in Salt Lake City. Anthony Edwards threw down a monster slam over John Collins in the third quarter. It was vicious. Everybody got hurt on the play. The play immediately went viral on social media. What a dunk. A few minutes later, okay, let's have another look. Yeah, sure, why not? Oh my God.
The slow-mo is so sexy.
My goodness.
Thanks for that.
Yes, a few minutes later, over in Los Angeles, Jalen Johnson made Austin Reeves regret trying to draw a charge with a dunk to deliver the first 2 points of the game.
Good start.
Yeah, Big Johnson damn near leapfrogged Austin Reeves. So, monster. Dunk of the Year candidates there last night. What you got, though, for Dunk of the Night? Is it Ant-Man or is it Jalen Big Johnson? Trey Kirby, you get us started. Who gets your vote? They're both good. They're both great.
Question. It's a tough question, Skeets. I got to give them both a win here. Wow. Anthony Edwards gets the dunk of the night. Clearly the dunk of the night. Probably the dunk of the season. Both him and John Collins like had to get examined afterwards.
Yeah.
Dislocated finger for Edwards, and then John Collins had to go into the concussion protocol. They found out just a bruise from basically getting the finger to the face from Anthony Edwards. But the Jalen Johnson, to me, gets poster of the night because the picture of it is ridiculous. Him dunking on Austin Reeves, putting the dick in ridiculous. Big Johnson going full on groin to face here for Austin Reeves. It just looks terrible for Austin, though. Things turned around for them, the Lakers, after this. Whereas with Anthony Edwards, his dunk was like a turning point in the game.
Yeah.
He threw it down and the Wolves kind of took over from there. So I think they both get honored for this. Dunk of the night to Ant, but poster of the night to Jalen Johnson. A hilarious still frame.
Yeah, that was so fun to watch. It reminded me of Vince Carter over Frederick Weiss, you know, jumping over a man, That being said, although it's cool, the other one is so much more vicious, so much more violent. You try and get a block from John Collins. Poor John Collins. That one's a dunk of the year, easily, just because of how violent. And just that was violence on a basketball court. It really, really was. For Anthony Edwards to come out and say, I couldn't react because I dislocated my finger. Well, that's because you poked it in John Collins' face, who was holding his eye afterwards. But that was so much more cooler. Just the whole thing to me. Kids were asking him for his shoes after the game, and he said, this is the first time I wore them. I don't want to give them to you. See how cool that is? That is just cool because he knows. And Anthony Edwards has done that in his career. Like the dunk on Utah Watanabe, like those types of dunks. Jalen Johnson's awesome, but it's a man standing there.
Yeah.
Kind of remind me of the dunk contest a little bit. Dunk over somebody just standing there or sitting there in Jaylen Brown's situation. This one wins. Anthony Edwards wins.
Yeah, it's definitely a very mean dunk, Ant-Man, on Collins. Collins jumping way too late when he went to go up and try to contest it. Anthony had already taken off from so far. And then, yeah, people were like, man, he hurt his finger. He must have hurt it on the rim. And you're like, no, it's his other hand that he poked in John's cheekbone, where then he went back to the locker room and sort of popped that finger back in place, taped it up, returned to action, and then, yeah, Trey, you said it, was pretty dominant here in the second half in a win for the Wolves. Reminiscent a little bit, Anthony Edwards' dunk, of Blake Griffin on probably Kendrick Perkins even more than Mozgov, because it was a thrunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a throw plus a dunk. It's a thrunk. It's just a variation of a dunk. I also was reminded of the poster that wasn't a dunk. Ja Morant over Kevin Love. That, to me, the Anthony Edwards dunk was almost like if that actually had occurred and Ja had, like, successfully pulled off that one, this is what it was. Because there's some similarities. You know, the spreading of the legs, the extension, obviously the athleticism from those guys. But he did it in the thrunk variety. But holy crap. It was cool that they had just happened within, like, I don't know, was it 10 or 15 minutes of game time with that one in the Jalen Johnson one starting at the start of the game?
Yeah, John Collins really goes for that block. And he can jump, but he kind of, at the end of it, he knows. He knows that he's getting dunked on. So that part is awesome, too. Yeah. Strictly violence in that one. We saw Jalen Green do it the other day, like last week. You know, cocked it back, a little with the off arm. But this one, it was even more intense. That was cool.
Yeah, and then all the reactions from players on the floor, like Kyle Anderson, people in the stands. I mean, these are Utah Jazz fans, but you're seeing their reactions to it. And then, yeah, a guy on the ground, another guy, like, looking at his offhand. Oh, God, I screwed it up. Like, there was just so much going on in this. And I guess, should Austin Reeves almost be happy that Anthony Edwards dunked on John Collins last night? Otherwise, you know, this is the number one play on the NBA.com top 10 list and stuff like that. It got overshadowed a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because it happened first, and it was more violent and probably ultimately the better actual dunk.
And everybody loves Anthony Edwards. There's and people don't know quite as much about Jalen Johnson. Also, the Lakers went on to win. I don't know how much that factors into it, but it could easily get lost after watching the Anthony Edwards dunk. What a landing by this guy. He just goes up without any plan on these sort of things. Same with his block. He's like, I'll figure it out in the air. He comes down hard on his left leg, but it's just his finger that's hurt. So, like, I don't know if there's actually a way to hurt Anthony Edwards. He's going to maybe, like, break his face on the rim. But I guess he hit his head on the backboard and was fine afterwards. Came down hard, landed on his wrist, was like, yeah, my wrist hurts, but didn't miss any time at all.
Yeah.
He's indestructible.
An old segment back in the day was we would take an NBA player and say, are they more like a cat or more like a dog? I believe it was Mike Conley that said, Anthony Edwards is like a cat. The way he lands. He always lands.
Yeah.
And, you know, he even called it Mike Conley like the best dunk he's ever seen in person, probably. Witnessed right there. So that's saying something. This guy's been around for a long time, seen some good dunks, but I guess he's a cat. But he's got the dog in him, so this is a tough one with Anthony Edwards.
He's got the cat on his team as well.
Yeah, that's right. And he has a good pet dog, doesn't he?
Yeah. Isn't his dog's name Ant?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Has Anthony Edwards in him, literally.
But he said he couldn't react because he hurt his finger. Poor guy. He landed so well, but it hurt him so much that his finger just forced him to not be able to laugh, to jump around.
Sort of made it cooler in a weird way. He was like, oh, I got to go back to the locker room. I just baptized the Baptist there. See you later. I'll be back.
Yeah, Jalen Johnson, he stared at Austin Reeves a little bit. You know, quick walk over him.
First 2 points of the game is the weirdest part of that dunk. That's how they started that one in LA. He also had another great dunk Jalen Johnson. Not on anybody, but like a backdoor cut, baseline reverse. Get this guy in the dunk contest moving forward. Hopefully Ant as well. And Ja. All of them. Those were awesome. Awesome dunks. Let's hear from you. Which one of those two from last night would get your vote? I would imagine you threw up a poll. It would be heavily favored towards Anthony Edwards.
We all have
Edwards?
A poll up.
Oh, good.
I think we all have a poll up right now. 84% of people are saying Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I was going to say 80, so even more. That makes sense. And even like they showed him the dunk after the game, and he's like, "Ooh, like he's like it's."
He got his chance to trash talk John Collins then.
Yeah.
All right. And he sold some shoes, I'm sure. Yeah. Those are nice shoes.
Let's get to the actual games a little bit here. Anthony Edwards did have 32 points, 8 assists, 7 boards to lead the Wolves over the Jazz 114-104. He scored 25 of his 32 in the second half, including the thrunk of the year, dunk of the year, to help the Wolves pull away late. So that win moves Minnesota back into second spot in the Western Conference standings. It's tight at the top. OKC, 47-20, so they hold a half-game lead over the Wolves and Nuggets, who are currently slotted 2-3 there. So 1-2-3, OKC, mini Denver. I need you to predict, Tass, the West number one seed in this what you got. Thunder, Wolves, or Nuggets? Where are you going?
It really is a race. I'm taking OKC because Denver and Minnesota, they play each other 3 more times. So somebody is bound to lose in those games. So that hurts them, I guess. The fact that Anthony Edwards has been so awesome without Karl-Anthony Towns, great for the Timberwolves. That being said, as the season goes on, he's got to come back to earth a little bit because he has been balling. He has been incredible. So the Wolves don't have Karl-Anthony Towns, that part of it. I think the Nuggets, although they're 11-2 in their last 13, they're absolute balling. This team won the ship. I think they're going to chill a little bit at some point, you know, give up a loss here or there as they get into the postseason because they know what they can do. But it's a great race. OKC's got a tough schedule the rest of the way. But they are 12-3 in their last 15, and they did have J-Dub out a little bit. I'll take OKC. Okay. I really have no idea who's going to come out first, though. This is a great race.
Yeah, it's a tough one to call, but where are you going to go?
We might need to run this question back tomorrow because we got Denver-Minnesota tonight.
That's right. Yep.
Right now, the season lead goes to Minnesota. They're up 1-0, but like Tass mentioned, there's 3 games left. Unfortunately, one of them is on April 10th. Like, literally, who knows who's going to be playing for that game, but that could determine the number one seed. I actually got OKC finishing third just because they got a really tough schedule. 8 of their last 15 are on the road. They got a 5-game, like, East Coast trip, which will be a tough one, though they've been pretty solid away from OKC as well. All the playoff probabilities things say it's probably going to be Minnesota who finishes with the number one spot, and I'm taking Denver.
You're taking Denver.
What'd you say, 11-2 since the All-Star break?
Yeah, that's
they
good.
Lost when Nikola Jokic missed the game winner, lost in overtime, and then they lost when Jamal Murray took a shot too early, and then Kyrie Irving hit a left-handed shot from 20 feet away. So I think they could easily be 13-0. Maybe they gave up their games early in the season and turned it on the second half here.
They have.
That's kind of what I think has happened, and it looks to me like they want the number one seed, and they've got the best guy going. So give me Denver.
I think I'm with you. Of the three teams, Denver probably has the easiest remaining schedule because it includes 2 games against San Antonio, 2 against Memphis, 1 at Portland. So those are possibly some gimmies there. Minnesota has 8 games remaining against teams above 500. It's a big game tonight. You know, Denver, Minnesota, huge game. They play twice more after that in Denver, which maybe favors the Nuggets. It's going to be, it's going to come down to possibly these season series and who has the advantage between all 3 squads here. But I'll go Denver, mainly because we're all told that Jokic was sending a text to everyone that we're going to get the number one seed. So I feel like they want to back up their MVP guy and go get it. Like, they weren't even going to the White House. Like, they're turning down the chance to go see the president and all that. Like, no, we got to lock in on the number one seed. So
no,
now you got to take care
of
business.
Go.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they were supposed to be there yesterday, I do believe, which is a day before them playing Minnesota. And they said no. We're not going. We got missions to handle. So they have gotten better after the All-Star break. They're ready for the postseason. So it definitely could be them.
All right, moving to some other games. Caris LeVert, Jared Allen each scored 23 points as the shorthanded Cavaliers fended off a late push from the Pacers. 108-103 victory. Cleveland played without 3 of their regular starters, including Donovan Mitchell. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, Tyrese Maxey, 30 points, 10 assists to help the Sixers beat the Heat 98-91 in a potential preview of possibly an NBA play-in game. So more impressive win. Cavs very shorthanded, or the Sixers obviously missing their star guy in Joel Embiid still. TK, what you got?
It's the Sixers for me, because I don't think they probably were favored going into this one against the Heat. But they got the win, moved them up to sixth, and dropped Miami to eighth. So kind of the results of the results are what pushes it over the top for me. I did love the Kyle Lowry revenge game.
Mm-hmm.
16 points, three threes. He hit a huge three with about 3 minutes left after Philadelphia went ice cold. And then he had another tough layup as well, because Buddy Hield was going crazy. I kind of thought in the fourth quarter, this guy was just chucking wild threes, mixed some layups. Buddy was having a weird one in the fourth quarter, but Kyle Lowry slowed it down, and he allows Tyrese Maxey to play his full game. Rather than having to be the all-time point guard, the all-time distributor, Lowry handles the ball, which allows Maxey to play off ball. Maxey's great with the ball in his hands, but he's even better when he gets to play catch and shoot or attack like a bent defense or come downhill. He just looked really great. I thought Kelly Oubre played a really solid game. He was scoring. He was cutting. They need his free lance abilities, especially with Embiid out right now, and he's just such a much quicker decision maker than Tobias Harris, because Kelly Oubre gets it. He's like, how am I going to score?
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of figuring out if he's going to just chuck it right away or drive to the hoop. Whereas with Tobias Harris, it's like, I'm going to dribble 18 times before I maybe take a 15-footer. But I also thought Kelly Oubre was playing defense. He had a block on Jaime Jaquez in the post with about 36 seconds left. Philadelphia up four. And then Kelly Oubre started signaling for a first down going the other way. I like to see that. Five blocks on the night from Oubre. Also took some smart shots. And they got a nice performance from Mo Bamba as well. One of the best Bamba games I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
I don't really keep tabs on Mo Bamba, but he looked good defending, shooting threes, and actually passing the ball pretty well. So I thought the Sixers, I wouldn't have expected them to beat the Heat, because they've really been struggling lately. I know Miami's not playing very well either, but they had a lot of guys available.
They did, yeah. No Jimmy Butler in this game. So that was a part of it, but it was great to see Oubre playing defense on Jaime Jaquez, who tried to sell that block. He tried to kind of fall over, and it appeared like both these games here that both the referee sets were, they heard that message from league office. Let these guys be a little bit physical. The reported message from the offense, from the league office was, just let it happen a little bit more. And Jaime Jaquez even went to the floor quite often. You see that sold about Kelly Oubre, great block. Same thing happened at the end of the Pacers game against the Cavs, where Pascal Siakam was sort of on the sideline and George Niagua just using his body and his girth just to get a little closer, a little closer, a little closer. Siakam kind of fell out of bounds. They called a foul on George Niagua. Now we're going to challenge that. And it was overturned because George Niang was just getting in the space of Pascal Siakam. So very odd in both those situations. But I would also take the Philadelphia 76ers, Kyle Lowry, a revenge game against the team that dropped him. For sure. He looked like peak Lowry at times. With 16 points in this game, there was the play where he got cut off in the lane. Oh, what am I going to do? Spin back and hit a shot. That looked like peak Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
Three in the lane. Then that play where he was on a fast break and Caleb Martin, awesome play to dive for it, and he was kind of behind Kyle Lowry. So Kyle Lowry just jumped backwards and got a foul. Very cool.
That was an ultimate grift from
Kyle
Lowry.
It was a Lowry.
Even he was laughing at that one. He's like, oh, I've never done that one before.
Yeah, so he literally drew a call on a guy lying down.
Yeah, the guy was lying down. He like tripped himself over him for the and one.
But yeah, then he hit a chuck. I mean, it was probably like a 28-footer that he hit. That is Kyle Lowry, 16 points to help out. They are just doing it in front of everybody right now with Tyrese Maxey and him, Kyle Lowry, and Kelly Oubre, and they're waiting. Joel Embiid is working in the back. They need him, obviously, in the postseason, but he is working out behind the scenes to get better to help them. So TBD, but a great win for them.
Good call on pointing out Kelly Oubre Jr. with five blocks. I was like, that's got to be a career high in a game. It is. He had four when he was with the Suns in one game, but five, now a career high for him. And as for the Cavs, Caris LeVert, I feel like he always plays well against the Pacers. Maybe some revenge there as well. But good stuff here from Ziller in his newsletter. When you look at the percentage of the season key Cavaliers have missed this year, it's pretty wild. Donovan Mitchell, all NBA last season. He would have been this year if he had hit the mark. He's missed 28% of their games. Evan Mobley, all defense last year. 44% of the games missed. And then Garland, who's a young all-star, he's missed over 30% of the games. They're still the number three seed. They're still within striking distance of number two. JB Bickerstaff, as Ziller notes, probably not going to win coach of the year, but heck of a sort of reputational turnaround for him and keeping this team afloat through all of these injuries. Those are three star guys, you know, three young star guys. And they've still one more than they've lost. That's pretty impressive, and sort of caught me by surprise how many games they have missed when you really take zoom out and look at it. Final one here, guys. Sabonis registered his 50th straight double-double as the Kings beat the Grizzlies 121-111 in overtime. He became just the fourth player to record 50-plus consecutive double-doubles in a single season over the last 50 seasons. And then in L.A., D'Angelo Russell scored 27 points while tying the Lakers' single-season record for three-pointers in a dominant victory over the Hawks. He hit six to give them 183 on the year. He passed Kobe and his 180 that he hit in 05-06. He tied Nick Van Exel, one of my favorites, for that franchise record at 183. Nick did that in 94-95. So the Wilder stat, I'm pitting these two against each other. Sabonis and his 50 straight double-doubles, or D'Lo tying and eventually going to be breaking the Lakers' franchise record for three-pointers made with 183. What you got, Tass?
D'Angelo Russell shocked me that he has tied the record for this team that is held by Nick Van Exel so long ago. When the NBA has changed, and that there should be somebody. Malik Beasley could have done it last year, but he got traded. I think he would have had the record.
Like half a season, right?
Yeah, he was scorching for that half season, yeah. And then it stopped. But that surprised me.
Yeah.
Like a few years ago, it was KCP in the playoffs. He led the team in threes as they won the friggin' championship. So I'm just surprised that it happened for D'Angelo Russell here. This is like a D'Angelo triumphant month or so, as he goes and does his media. This is pretty. He had his kid with him at the end of it, as he was told by the interviewer that you tied the record. So that's pretty neat, I would say. That's the one that stood out for me.
Okay, what about you, TK?
I think Sabonis. I think that's such a low number to be a record for D'Angelo Russell. Like, he's 14th in the league in made threes this season. So more impressive that Nick Van Exel has stood for so long.
Yeah. Well, let me give you this from Statitudes. Only three franchises have never had a player reach 200 three-pointers in a season. The Lakers, obviously, one of them. The Nuggets, 192 is their record, and the Spurs 191. So only three franchises
have never had
a 200 plus, three-pointers made from a guy. But D'Angelo Russell, very likely, I guess, will do that. But you're going Sabonis.
Yeah, definitely going Sabonis. His stats literally just always surprise me. Still leading the league in triple doubles, 23. Jokic has 21. Luka has 17. He also shoots a better percentage than Nikola Jokic does from two and from three.
Yeah,
I know.
DeMontis Sabonis wasn't an All-Star?
Yeah, that's the weirdest one. That's crazy. He's going to better be All-NBA, especially now. I mean, you don't even have to worry about positions.
That hurts him, I think.
You think that he didn't? Oh, that he won't have to.
He would have been locked in as the number three center,
yeah.
I think. But now he's got to be a top 15 guy. But he plays a lot, which helps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as far as the Lakers go, they hit the fewest threes in the NBA. They take the fewest threes in the NBA. So that's why D'Angelo Russell needs to be shooting each and every possession. That's why LeBron looks at him and passes it to him and says, just freaking shoot it. I need you. And he needs you to keep on shooting. One thing that stood out for me and has stood out for me with the Sacramento Kings is Keon Ellis coming off the bench in this one because Kevin Huerter got injured, but he has been starting for Kevin Huerter occasionally. He had five huge blocks in this game. Monstrous block as a guard. He could be their defensive go-to. I think Mike Brown is looking for that. And so that could help out in the postseason. They want somebody beside De'Aaron Fox to just play defense. And that guy plays it, and he can shoot the three.
He almost gave us another block wedgie. I think it was on Desmond Bane. Ellis pinned it off the glass and sort of close to wedging in. And then they went the other way. And was it Fox that chucked it over his head to Malik Monk, who threw down a two-hand slam? It was an awesome double-ender there, as Lee Ellis used to call them.
I haven't heard a double-ender for a while.
Huge play. It was a lot of great plays last night. But it took overtime, but they got it done. I mean, that could have been another brutal Kings loss. You don't love that it took an extra 5 minutes, but
took
care of business. Malik Monk, I mean, honestly, another game where he saved him. He's incredible, like, down the stretch. And I do think we'll win Sixth Man of the Year. And Sabonis, it's a good point about All-NBA. Like, will people, hopefully there's room for maybe both of them, but like Anthony Davis or Sabonis. There will be votes for Anthony Davis for All-NBA for sure. I think he's hit the mark now. He played, no goggles. Cornea was okay. But man, that would be really weird if Sabonis is not on one of these teams. I mean, I had him last did this, I had him on the All-NBA second team with guys like Kawhi and stuff like that. So we'll see. A month ago, but 50 straight double-doubles.
It's a lot.
That's incredible. I don't see why, unless an unfortunate injury happens here, that he won't continue to have a double-double for the rest of the year.
Somebody's got to keep him off the glass.
Like every game.
He's the one guy to worry about.
Yeah. But he is a beast.
De'Aaron Fox, 10 assists. Did you see the assist? We know our man Tom Haberstroh has been checking out these assists. Are they real assists right. over the years? He passed the ball to Malik Monk, who was probably like 40 feet from the basket.
Yeah.
And Malik Monk dribbled into the paint and scored. How do you give that an assist? I just don't understand how you possibly give an assist. Haberstroh's got to be on that. What the heck?
They're guessing the numbers there.
What the heck?
Oh, my God.
I was trying to think of something cool to say, what, like, to have an assist pun there, but I just went, what the heck? What the pass was that? Nah. What the ass was that? What the pass was that? You know, there's something.
What the pass was that?
There's something weird.
What matchups does Sabonis have to worry about on the boards? I thought you were doing some.
Not a lot, honestly.
He's going to do it, I think.
He very well might. I would say that at Orlando on Saturday, this coming Saturday, March 23rd, is maybe the biggest question. They got a pretty big front line, and it will be their third game in four nights on the road. That could be a tough one.
Okay.
But other than that, I guess like they have a game in New York against the Knicks in early April. That could be a tough one. They're a pretty solid rebounding team as well. Otherwise, though, it's they got 15 games left. He could stretch this thing to 65.
Jesus. He averages 13.7 rebounds per game. Gobert's next, 12.9. So, I mean, we're talking nearly another, almost a full board a game more than Rudy. And AD and Jokic, also over 12.
It's amazing with the Kings. They need him to board. Their second best, or the second highest rebounder is Keegan Murray with 5.4.
Yeah,
he just gobbles them up,
this guy.
Yeah.
He is an ox for a reason. All right, that's a little what you got. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, is this news? And we will lead with LeBron and JJ Redick's brand new podcast. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, I told you we'd be back in a hurry. Let's get into Is This News? Is This News? I've got the headlines. You guys will debate whether or not they're newsworthy, and we can break them down. Play along if you're in the stream team right now, live on YouTube, or podcast listeners. Let us know in the comments or tweet at us at NoDunksInc. First one, it's from The Athletic. A fine website. LeBron James and JJ Redick teaming up for a new basketball-centric podcast. Is This News? Mind the Game. Episode 1 dropped this morning. What do you think? Another basketball podcast.
Oh, this is news.
Okay.
This is definitely news. This is news in the NBA world and also in the podcasting streets. Competition is getting tougher and tougher, Skeets.
Oh, you're telling me, man.
But LeBron's going to have to record a lot of episodes to catch us on the all-time podcasting leaderboards, isn't he? JJ Redick might be catching us pretty soon, though. This guy's got a billion podcasts.
This guy pumps them out, man.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the first clip. I listened to a little bit of the first episode because I didn't know it was out. I knew it was coming, and then it was suddenly out this morning. But I'm going to be very interested in these because it does feel like this is going to be an education. You're going to hear about LeBron talking about bomb plays, not bombs over Baghdad. Baseline out of bounds. I thought we all called those blobs.
So did I. I'm already learning.
Guy called screen the screener, pick the picker. I got to change up everything now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to learn all kinds of new terminologies. But it is interesting because I was wondering, just seeing the clip, hearing LeBron talking about the inbounder should take the guard, go into the corner, and then his guy, the X5, should take the inbounder. I was like, you're going to need some visuals to actually understand what these guys are talking about. Some of those visuals, apparently, just JJ drawing up sets on a clipboard, and some of them will be possibly licensed footage. I don't know, LeBron. I don't know if LeBron was getting those ones cleared because they were under 10 seconds. Very smart. Somebody knows how the YouTube claims work. But yeah, this is going to be interesting to me. I love this stuff, hearing these guys talk actually about basketball. At some point, you're going to get into LeBron talking about, like, how he scores and what he thinks when he gets the ball in the post, things you can actually learn from. So should be interesting.
Yeah, he's getting warm for his post-career, it sure feels like. Why can't he just talk about basketball for a podcast for, you know, you don't have to record it every single week. Like, this could just be sort of like Kobe's detail to some degree, just analyzing some sort of plays, he could just pump out 30 shows in 10 days. I mean, and you could just bank them.
Yeah, they've already done two, I believe.
Right.
They bank, or, you know, they recorded them, of course. Yeah. So a second one will be coming soon.
Yeah, this is like a pilot for me because they needed more visuals. Absolutely needed more visuals. Let's draw these things up. Let's figure these things out. But it's going to be LeBron explaining every play he's ever had or, you know, the way he thinks about some particular play and what happened in that particular play, just talking about it with JJ Redick. So it's going to be great. But I do think it's a pilot for next season. I mean, I don't know. Two shows now before the playoffs when LeBron gets into the playoffs and will not be recording anything.
Because he usually cuts off from you know, all media and all social media. And I assume that includes recording podcasts. Yeah. Good point.
You can argue LeBron may not be in the playoffs. I'm sure people, the anti-LA people are watching and saying that currently as I said that. However, I do think this is long-term. And JJ Redick, he keeps on growing, that media center.
Mind the game. I fired it up this morning when it was released at, like, 4 a.m. Eastern time.
Got the notification turned
on. Yeah, I was like, oh, I popped right out of bed like the Undertaker. Time to listen to another basketball podcast. It was good. I mean, surprise, surprise. It's, like, good production. It's these two geeks talking about basketball. My takeaways from it, I don't think I'm spoiling anything, but, first off, this is just going to be, like, meme gold, right? A lot of stuff's going to get pulled from this, some funny things. I love them drinking wine. That was always making me laugh. Like, at one point, JJ just stops and goes, cheers, man. They have nice cheers with their red wine. But LeBron was shitting on the two-for-one thinking, you know, the idea that we just got to get two shots instead of one. And his, like, pushback is, like, the flow of the game. And, like, basically, like, so what, you're just going to get two crappy shots instead of maybe one good shot? So he's going in on that. There was some talk about Rondo, how he should be a coach. And he was surprised because they're talking about, like, basketball IQ. And JJ's asking him, like, who are the smartest basketball players you ever play with? Rondo right away. And we've heard that before. So the idea of, like, I guess he just doesn't want to coach because he easily could be. And then there was lots of love for Steph Curry and Allen Iverson from LeBron in terms of guys that have, like, sort of changed basketball or impacted basketball, like the youth sort of falling in love with how they play and how cool they were and stuff like that. So that was sort of cool. It was a good listen. No, you know, first show, good stuff. Can't wait for the next one, but there's just going to be some funny things, especially like LeBron haters are going to love it because they're going to like, oh, they're going to pull this clip or maybe he lies about something. You know, that's the going joke that he always like, he just knows or goes back and pretends to know. So it's going to be content gold.
There are going to be full podcasts just about these podcasts.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like reviewing LeBron's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because sure, like, if you're a Lakers fan, you literally have to listen to these.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be, it's like similar to Draymond's podcast where he goes on the games like as soon as they happen and explains what happened in the game. LeBron's going to do similar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got such a great recall that you're going to be able to like pull the plays that he's talking about to see what he saw.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, pull those plays. That's exactly what you need to do. And he's just going to, you know, bring them up in his head and how he breaks them down. It's going to be super fun. I like how the wine bottle
was blared out. The label was blared out. You couldn't see it. It was blurred. It's like, what are they doing? They didn't want to have the wine bottle out there. They're looking for a wine sponsor, right?
Yeah, sure.
Somewhere sure. deep in the archive. They're recording in front of those wood that you know that was it looked like wood huge boxes?
Crates or something?
The crates, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the set. I just love the set. Okay. Yeah, I want to know what's in that, what are in those boxes.
Oh, probably why. I really want to know. All right, next headline. NBC Sports, DeAndre Ayton says slow start in Portland was in part due to him sleeping on an air mattress. Is this news? He's killing it right now. I guess he's in a real bed again. But is this news, DeAndre Ayton, this air mattress part getting pulled, obviously, from a bigger story, but what do you think?
No.
Okay.
No, this is not news, but it is pretty funny because the only time I could remember hearing stories like this or getting trapped in an ice storm were with Kwame Brown when he was a rookie. There was a story that he went to a French restaurant, couldn't believe they didn't have French dressing, and then took French dressing with him any other time he went to a French restaurant. He ate Popeyes for every meal because he didn't know how to shop for groceries.
Right.
And, of course, he ran out of clothes because he didn't know you had to wash your clothes.
Right.
Or how to do laundry. So he would just go buy new suits. He was 18. DeAndre Ayton is 26 years old, just about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He could have gotten a new mattress.
A bed. Yeah. Yes.
He doesn't even need a bed. He could have just gotten a mattress if he wanted to.
Right.
There's no reason for a multimillionaire seven-footer to ever sleep on an air mattress.
Sure.
Yeah, he was traded on September 27th, so right before training camp. You can feel bad for him in that he needed to get used to things to be able to play well, but at the same time, how do you not have a bet? Really, I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you know, if you want to play really well and know that you need to sleep to play really well, you basically just say, hey, Suns and Movers, what I'm just naming some company, but just come take my bed here from Phoenix and put it in Portland, and they'll be there in 2 days. And for the entire training camp, you could be sleeping in your bed.
Was that Suns and Movers S-O-N-S?
Yeah.
Or S-U-N-S?
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, great, good call.
Suns
yeah.
and Suns? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you're right.
I was thinking locally, yeah. And his numbers are exactly the same year to year. So, I mean, nothing
well,
really changed.
Well, he's on a tear right now.
Yeah. He is on a tear. But they're basically, they ain't that different entirely.
Look, this gets pulled, the air mattress part, everyone rolling their eyes, like you guys have just said, hold on, you're a multimillionaire and you can't get a bed, night one or whatever there in your new spot. The other parts from him talking about this make a little more sense. First off, just moving franchises to a new team and getting some familiarity with the city and the organization and your teammates. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he talked about family coming in and out of town and maybe that was a distraction and them needing sure. places to stay. The changes to his young son, DeAndre Ayton Jr. Like, yeah, that all makes sense. It's like, you almost wish like he didn't throw in the air mattress part because, again, everyone's like, come on, man. What? This is a reason why? What?
I mean, is it more of a reason that he's got family in town?
It's at least, it's not probably pulled into a, it's not pulled into
it's
a headline.
It's not the leading headline, it's a bunch of excuses and easily being distracted.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is the problem for DeAndre Ayton.
Maybe.
And so he just keeps adding to it and piling on.
He better have a great season next season now that he knows what bed he's sleeping in, that he's got the family in town. I mean, the numbers are slightly different, but they ain't that different. The whole ice thing where he couldn't get out of his house because it snowed and there was ice everywhere. I buy that. Entirely true. Entirely true. Portland didn't know how to deal with that ice.
Okay.
Except for everybody else on the Blazers.
Right.
Yeah, except for everybody else on the Blazers. But it depends on the area that you live in. It depends on your car situation. Okay, whatever. I didn't feel as bad. I felt that was real. This is, okay.
I would like some follow-up to this. How many nights are we talking? How long was he on the air mattress for?
If it's more than one night.
It's insane.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
It doesn't take any time to get a mattress.
I know. I've seen him unpackage a mattress that came in a box.
That was a mattress.
Yeah, but you can just go buy one. You don't even have to order one. You just go to a store because you don't have a mattress.
No,
and get one.
There are no more mattress stores, I thought.
Mattress for less? Is that a thing? Mattress Firm? Isn't that one of them?
Well, he probably needs a specific size. I don't know. Maybe he needs a custom job.
Anything is better than an air mattress.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
IKEA, they sell mattresses. They're not that great.
No.
But you can get them, and they're always in stock. Do they have one in Portland? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or you come sleep in a room that already has a bed. You know, there are.
Oh, like a hotel.
No, like, no. I want a home. I want a home. You know,
can rent a home.
You move for a certain company, there's definitely places they can put you.
Yeah, didn't Larry Nance move into Josh Hart's house when he went to the Blazers?
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of guys that got traded away from the Blazers.
Yeah.
Could have slept in Damian Lillard's house. I bet he's got a bed.
DeAndre Ayton's bigger, though. He's like a foot bigger than him.
Could be. Nonetheless, he's not sleeping on a full-size air mattress that fits him. You know what I'm saying? He could easily get a bed. This guy's happy to get his second contract. That's what he said. That's what he said at the draft. Success for me will be getting a second contract, and he is good.
Yeah, but he doesn't even know what to do with that money. He can't even buy mattresses with it.
That's right.
All right, that's long enough. Next one here, from The Athletic again. The Wizards rookie Bilal Coulibaly will miss the remainder of the season due to a wrist fracture. Is this news?
It's news for you, Skeets. You're screwed.
No. Yeah. Why?
Why? Because we are in a race to determine who has the worst record in the NBA, and the Pistons are leading the Washington Wizards, and the Wizards lose Coulibaly, who, along with Denny Avdia, is the best defender. Those are the two best defenders on that team. Yeah. There's no doubt. And you lose Bilal Coulibaly here when you got all these injuries. I mean, Tyus Jones injured, Shamit's injury, Denny Avdia is dealing with a knee injury, Bagley is out. So they may just go all in on playing extremely young right here, right now. Johnny Davis, you're in, baby. You need to get a second contract. You need another job in the NBA. You're in. So I think they may go extremely young. Kuzma may not play. Avdija may not play. Tyus Jones may not play as much, even though Kuzma, as he said, he wants to write this thing. He wants to be here. Apparently, he told his front office he didn't want to be traded. That's a great article in The Athletic. I don't know why anyone's not talking about that. That was when Kuzma said he was offered to be dealt to the Dallas Mavericks. He said, no. I want to be here in Washington where you are going to win, or lose, I should say. Lose. The Nut Dust Bowl. That's it.
We'll see. Yeah. Pistons play the Wizards coming up. Yeah. But no Coulibaly to put on, I guess, Cade or whatever you consider the best perimeter player, because he would get that matchup a lot. And he's solid defensively. His stats are not going to wow you. He's very young. Played a lot of minutes. I think fifth among all rookies, 27 minutes per game. So they've got to fill that. I just gotta hope like the Wizards pick up a bunch of guys that are like just fighting to be in the league and scrap hard and play hard and pull out some victories here to avoid the Nut Dust loss. But we'll see. What do you think here, TK?
Well, Coulibaly was actually further along this season than I thought he was going to be. Is he the youngest player in the league?
It's got to be close.
I think so. Yeah, he's not even 20 years old yet. Shot almost 35% from three. I thought he would be lucky to be in the high 20s just because he wasn't pegged as a shooter, coming from Mets 92. Could actually do some stuff with the ball, and then had crazy long wingspan as well. Almost a steal and a block per game, and he's just basically running around out there. So, I mean, the Wizards, their season is sunk. They've got one big game left on the schedule, and it is against Detroit to see who finishes with the worst record in the league. You'd rather have him than not, but I guess it is Johnny Davis time. I told you guys not too long ago, I saw live Johnny Davis hit a three. Like, yeah. I was watching the game, and he made a three. Yep. That was crazy.
Was that in this where he got in? Where Coulibaly got injured? It happened against the Bulls.
No,
so
it
was before.
It was, who did I watch them play? I watched them play a bad team. I don't know why I had this game on, but I literally saw him hit a three. I was like, what? That's amazing.
Yeah, Coulibaly, he's going to miss the remainder of the season, but he will be back in theory, you know, at the start of next year, and they're going to be very, you know, cautious with this. Again, super young. They're not playing for anything. He will be fine, hopefully. And you're right, Trey. I think he surprised a lot of people, especially when you unfortunately look at some Wizards picks over the last couple of years. You're like, But it feels like they have a building block, at least a guy on the wing that is a bit of a defensive force. Final headline from ESPN. Injury-ravaged Cavs sign Marcus Morris Sr. to a 10-day deal. Is this news? We just went through all the star players missing time for the Cavs. Can Marcus Morris Sr. help him out?
This is news. If you look back at what the Cavs did last year in the postseason, they fell apart. The lights were too bright. They literally didn't look like the Cleveland Cavaliers out there. They need old guys. Will Marcus Morris be a huge factor on the floor? Maybe, perhaps. I mean, he had a great game last night. He was splashing threes. Was it 14 points he had off the bench in his first game? It's why the 76ers kept him around all season long. because he is great at that. Yesterday's from three-point land in the mid-range, the old Marcus Morris, who scored 20 points a game, it felt like out there. But the Cavs fell apart last year. They need playoff veterans. They obviously have a bunch of them. They've got the Tristan Thompson returned. Quick return after
he's back.
Yeah, the unfortunate suspension that he had. He's got guys. They have guys that come off the bench, but that was their team last year. What they currently have in a lot of different ways. They just need guys in the locker room, and Marcus Morris could come off the bench and be really, really good. So I think it's a guy who will be around, even though it's a 10-day contract. I think it is a guy who will be around long-term because the guy can still play as a support guy.
What do you think? Is this newsworthy?
It's newsworthy because he had 14 points in 20 minutes last night. Like, they needed Marcus Morris. He definitely helped, but if he's playing big minutes for them in the playoffs, I think they're in a bad spot because they would rather be playing a guy like Dean Wade, who missed, I think, for personal reasons against the Pacers or something like that. So he should be buried pretty deep in the rotation once they actually get to playoff time. But it's better to have somebody that has a little bit of experience than a completely raw dude to throw in there. Like Tass said, they ran into the playoffs last year, and they all kind of got a little frightened. At the very least, Marcus Morris ain't going to be frightened.
Yeah, he's played 67 playoff games, started 45 of them, had some deeper runs with the Celtics back in the day in 17-18, then a couple years there with the Clippers. He played in a handful of playoff games last year for LA for the Clips, but couldn't hit a shot to save his life. I mean, he didn't get a lot of minutes in those games, so they're going to hope for a little bit more, but like you said, maybe he's just breaking a case of emergency when all their guys are not there. But he can still shoot, you're right. And as an older guy, has been in these postseason fights with some teams. So good pickup there for Cleveland.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Before we go, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night. It's all about fellas practicing some impossible shots. Our first tweet comes to us from Jonathan Feigen, who covers the Houston Rockets. He tweeted yesterday, Jalen Green hit the Kyrie Irving lefty hook after practice today. took a few tries. Imagine he won't try it in the game.
Okay.
Dare him. Yeah, yeah. Dare him.
Oh, yes.
And our own Will Guillory tweeted this. Trey Murphy working on the Kyrie shot after practice today. Hit it.
Hey, look good.
Look pretty good.
Look at the celebration.
He's excited.
Like Jordan hitting the jumper to win it against the Cavs back in the day.
No defense, no pressure, but this is how Kyrie Irving got it started. He would go on YouTube. He would find new moves, learn them, master them in practice, and then you never know when you're going to need it. When you can reach deep into the bag and pull out a lefty hook. Now we know at least two more guys who can make this shot. Jalen Green can hit it. Trey Murphy can hit it. I think Jalen Green is more likely to shoot it in the game, yes, if I'm being quite honest. Nonetheless, if this becomes a thing, if players start shooting lefty one-hand hook shots, that'll be a problem, I think.
Will we call it the Kyrie? I mean,
yeah.
I guess we'll have to.
Yeah, exactly right. It's like it used to be Tracy McGrady was the only guy who would go off the glass to himself.
Right.
And he would only do it in the All-Star game. And then people realized, wait, you can do this in the game now. You can just do it. Now Chet Holmgren does it. Like, he's a rookie, just doing it, no problem. It could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not calling that this is going to become a common shot in the NBA, but this is not the last time we've seen a lefty hook from a right-handed shooter.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Well, it's the first thing I'm going to do when I play pickup hoops tonight. I'm gonna before everybody shows up, I'm gonna practice this shot a few times. Gonna be difficult in this one gym we play in with no lines.
Yeah, no lines.
Weirdest gym in the world. Very weird to play basketball on. No lines. You don't really know where you are. It's a big man's game on this court, but it's fun.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say though?
And shooting a lefty hook is a big man's game, but shooting it from 22 feet
on the run,
that's freaking far. So that's tough. And Kyrie Irving taking all the spotlight from Brandon Podziemski, because he was shooting lefty hooks this season as a little guard. He's left-handed, so, you know, it's a strong hand. But is he not, or am I mistaken?
He is left-handed.
Yeah, yeah. He's.
I think that's probably why it doesn't get brought up.
Yeah. Well, he's a guard who shoots them. Nobody. He's,
just a hook shot, you're saying, yeah, from a guard.
Yeah
sure.
Don't shoot.
Rare. But
yeah, we'll see what Trey Murphy does, because he will be run off the three-point line. Because, you know, maybe he'll be Deuce Murphy. Shooting hooks. But lefty is tough, dude. Lefty is tough from that side of the floor. Did Kyrie call that? Give me it on that side of the floor. I want to lefty hook you. Because he couldn't righty hook. I don't know.
He did say I knew my left was open, so I went with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that guy doesn't that decide what hand he's going to shoot it with till he's in the air. We've seen him a million times, like, jump up with his right and, like, oh, okay, I'll just go left. Or the opposite. Like,
well, I couldn't shoot the right one in that situation.
No, that's what I'm saying. He decides once he's in the air and where the defense is. He's like, okay, I guess I'll go with this one. It's amazing. Like, what's the word I'm trying to say?
Ambidextrous.
That's a tough word for me to say. Ambidextrous. Thank you. Hornets Magic tonight, Rockets Wizards, Pelicans Nets, Mavs Spurs. Ugh. Thank God we got Nuggets Timberwolves.
It's a big one.
9 o'clock. I believe it's on NBA TV. They're tied in the West at the number two spot. Minnesota leads head-to-head right now, taking the first one, but we'll have two more after this. So there's a big game. Big, big game. Nugs Wolves, 9 o'clock. We'll be talking about it tomorrow here from the Classic Factory. Esh, great job over the last, you know, basically, well, I guess you've been here for a week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think JD's supposed to get back today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who knows with him? I could see him, like, purposely missing his flight. Just chill on the beach a little bit longer. But great work.
Appreciate you guys. It's good to be back in here, you know?
And I know we're going to see you for some no buffs in the future.
Hopefully.
The plan.
Hopefully.
All right, great. So hit the like button for Esh. Subscribe for Esh. Tell your friends about the show for Esh. And we will see you tomorrow. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining in. Remember, I have to mention this article on The Athletic that tells us about basketball betting and how it's coming. Now, as a League Pass viewer, there's an opt-in function. You can choose the odds if you want. Bet point spreads, money lines, and over-unders. It's coming so hard, so fast. If you want to bet.
Brace the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.